Where was the nearest doctor from home, up at the old home?
Ringwood. When they went there, it was Hawthorne. The nearest railway station was Hawthorne, and Mother and Father went up to the basin. And Father used to market his stuff with a back horse. You know, the ones with the baskets on each side, across the back, till he got a good enough track to get out for the horse and cart. Father used to go in. Yes, I don't remember that. Because Uncle Rafe was... I think Arch and Perch were both born in the old place when they lived down the flat. I think they moved up to the brick house just before Uncle Rafe was born. I think that's what Mother used to tell us.
Well, what?
Because, of course, the brick house was well established long before I came on the scene. And that old place was all built with handmade bricks, you know.
Well, what was the first place made of?
Down the flat. Poor old Granny used to tell us there's only two rooms. She came up there with a baby 6 weeks old, I think Uncle Alf was. And the baby and Father had built two rooms. And she used to tell us, and you all well know that Father was no carpenter. The grass used to come up through the floor. She must have worked and she used to do all the washing down on the banks of the creek, you know. They had a copper stuck up on stones and she used to... I can remember her doing that in our time, but that was more because of the shortage of water before we had the ram to pump the water up, because there was no other means of getting water. I can remember Mother washing down Buffett Creek. Can't remember much about it, but I can just remember it. Oh, Mother was tired. She used to go down there and stand for hours packing peaches, you know. They used to pack the peaches all in trays with passion fruit leaves between them. I remember picking passion fruit leaves now.
Passion fruit leaves were used
the
to
leaves.
Pack?
They used to pack, they were shallow trays. No, oh, they grew big peaches. And they'd put grass in the bottom of the tray. And then they'd put passion fruit leaves along the top and they'd pack the peaches a row at a time with passion fruit leaves between them. We used to go and gather passion fruit leaves for packing the peaches. They used to look pretty. A tray full of peaches. Tray about the size of a flat case cut in half they used to use for it. That's what they marketed all their peaches in.
Now, I was saying to Julie the other week that those boxes called Kero boxes...
Yeah.
They used to contain...
2 tins of kerosene. Well, they were quite useful boxes. They were used for all sorts of things, the kerosene boxes.
Well, that was kerosene for lamps, was it?
Yeah, kerosene. Well, kerosene came in 2 tins. All right up till Gran and I were living up there in the house where Grays are now. We used to buy our kerosene in tins and Bill Smart used to work for Faulkner's in those days. He used to deliver the kerosene to us. I used to give him the kerosene pump and he'd always make a hole in the tin and put the pump in for me. And we'd pump it with a little pump that pumped up and down, fill all our lamps.
Do you remember the Christmases?
Oh, Christmases. Mother used to have all the relations all the time, Wilson Dickens knows what, and cook about 3 geese. Lorna Goodwin asked me one day, don't know anything about geese, because there was geese on the property they brought up at Thornton. I said, all I remember about geese is helping to pick them for Christmas dinner and Mum cooking them. Oh, the Timewells, there was a family of Steve Timewells and Auntie Ed and Uncle Will, they were sure it was nothing for Grandma to cook a Christmas dinner for 20 or 30. Our mother and all our kids were scuttling around the day of, and she had a brick oven, you know, a proper baker's oven. Was built in the old kitchen at Carmo.
What's a baker's oven?
Oh, big baker's oven. They used to stack it full of wood and get it red hot and then rake all the coals out, and Grandma'd have all the cakes in. All us kids would be sitting around the table stirring Christmas cakes, and Grandma'd put them in this great big brick oven. Very often they got burnt, but mostly they were good. Well, she used to make her bread and all in that baker's oven when first they went up there. Oh, I can remember the baker's oven. carton the coals away from it and get it up to the heat, you know, and then they take all the fire out and then again just to hold the heat. Oh, God, I used to make beautiful fruit cakes. Then they pulled that out in later years and it was built in as a pantry in the kitchen. A great big thing, you know. And the boys pulled it all out and put shelves all up the side. It was our pantry for years up there.
When did they start growing Boronia?
Oh, now. Over at Como, while we were living at Como. Oh, we used to do up hundreds of dozens over at Como. Quite early in the piece. I think Uncle Alf was one of the first. He had a violet patch out towards where Don's, you know, where John's things are now. I think it's all built in now. Oh, must be John's new house, must be on where his old violet patch went. He used to get us kids out there and get us picking bunches of violet in cold, frosty mornings. Auntie Etting and Mother and I used to go out and help him. And he used to send them to market. He had a big violet patch there for a time, but that was Uncle Alf's own. But some of them claim that Uncle Alf was the first to grow Boronia. Well, if you say that to Clary Chandler, he goes as mad as a hornet because he declares he wasn't. I think really Uncle Alf might have played a bit of part in it, but I think it was really grown first at Como, the Boronia, as far as I know. But Clary says he can remember his father telling him that he used to go to market with the Boronia when he was on the place. Well, that was a long time before. I can't remember that, but I can remember the Boronia patch. But who marketed it, I wouldn't say.
Where did they take it to market?
Oh, to the Victoria Market, the old Victoria Market. And they used to have auction sales every week through the winter season of plants. I know your grandma, no, it wasn't your grandma, she was married then, Auntie Ed and I. We used to get up in the morning, get the boys' breakfast about 3 o'clock, and they used to drive in with a pair of horses and a wagon and take in the plants, and they used to have auction sales at Beecham's old auction rooms in Collins Street. We used to get up and make them barrels of, bottles of tea and wrap them up in all sorts of things to keep them warm. Uncle Bert and Uncle Rafe used to go off to market and we'd sit on by the big old fireplace. Oh, it was a shame that old house was pulled down, you know. It should have been kept. Every brick in it was made on the place, you know, because they said the bricks were deteriorating. They were all going soft because they thought the bricks don't stand up to the weather. And that old water hole up at the back behind all the sheds, that's where all the mud came from for the bricks that came over was built out of. They were all handmade bricks. And a man named, I think his name was Ack or Dick or some name like that, he built the house. Because that was when Uncle Rafe was a baby. They moved up into that old house when Uncle Rafe was a baby. So it was pretty old.
It came to get its name, the basin.
Oh, Baron von Mueller named it. He said it was a real basin or something, and the name stuck. He used to go up there and go walking all around the hills, Baron von Mueller. They had a piece written about him when the basin was first opened up, after he came up there and camped. He walked up, when the dickens did I read that? Must have got in some old papers at home somewhere about the basin. He used to go, he was really one of the main discoverers of the basin, like in the hills. Father knew him well, Baron von Mueller. Yeah. I don't think he's mentioned in that book, but he was a great friend of Father's. He went up there in the early days and discovered the mountains. They cut their way in. I don't think that's ever mentioned in this.
Which of the boys used to carry your father around on his shoulders?
Oh, any one of them. Two of them pick him up and sit in between them, all sorts of things. If father gave him any cheek or tried to stop him making a noise. Just whip him up and give him a ride around. He's a sport over there. He was a walker. I always say I must take after him. He always had, when he was walking along, he nearly always had a pansy. He always used to hold a flower between his lips as he was walking. He'd walk to Bayswater Station, set off, I'd just walk along and get my trotters warm, he'd say, and they'd pick him up nearly at the station when they got there with the horse and trap. Oh, we always had our horses to drive. In later years, we had a pair of ponies over Uncle Rafe's doings. He had a buggy with a pole on it. He used to drive the pair. Oh, he used to drive over to Montrose Church.
Didn't he used to sing or play a musical instrument, a squeeze box or something?
Oh, I might have played a concertina a bit. I don't remember much father in his musical boxes because we always had the piano and the organ both.
Who played those?
Oh, your mother played a bit. Uncle Arch played a bit. He learnt a bit of music, your mother. Not your mother, Grandma. And Auntie Ed was the one that learnt music properly. She was quite a good pianist, Auntie Ed. I used to tinker away a bit, but I never got very far with music. I didn't learn music properly till we went to live at Point Lonsdale, and then I learnt for a time down there. And the boys were all bigger than their father. I think Uncle Bert was about the... Uncle Bert and Uncle Harry were about the shortest of our boys. Because I know in the family group that was taken outside Como, Uncle Harry stood on a brick to make himself up level with the other fellows.
Well, how old would your father been here?
Oh, well, father died at 68. So he wasn't that old. I couldn't. He died in 1910, I think, or 1911, one of the two. He was 68, I fancy, when he died, Joe. Nice frames on them up there.
It's still got the time.
Oh, it's got the time wheel brand on it.
Which time was this?
That was mother's stepbrother. He was 12 years younger than mother. He was William Henry Timewell. Can't remember the name of those photographers in Collins Street. But that was where that was taken. They all went to town to get them, had their photos taken. This was Gilbert, the little chap. Uncle Will, Uncle Harry, Uncle Alf. Those were the three. This chap was 6 weeks old, I think, when they came up to live at the Basin.
Which chap?
Uncle Alf. There was Will and Harry were little fellas and Uncle Alf was a baby. And then Uncle Arch was born. He was the first white child born this side of the Dandenongs. And he was proud of the fact too. There was another girl, one of the Dobson girls, a Flora Dobson. She was a fortnight younger than Arch. And over at Como once, and I had a campfire thing, Christmas Eve affair up in the flats at Como, they got Uncle Harry and Uncle Arch, you know, telling about the early days. And Uncle Harry was talking and he said Flora Dobson was the first white child born in the basin. I was sitting next to Uncle Arch and Flora was on the other side. Up pops Uncle Arch, begging your father. Brother, he said she wasn't. I beat her by a fortnight. And Flora said, oh, goodness, is he right? I said, you're right. I said, I've always known that. That was always drummed into us. Flora got quite a shock. It was him. And then Uncle Purse. They were born while they still lived down in the flat in the little old small house. Uncle Rafe was born just after they moved up to the brick house.